Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this week's episode of Game Cabinet. This week, we're reaching in and pulling out actually the most tranquil of games for such a explosive intro. We're playing Photosynthesis.
Yay! Such a tranquil game for such a cutthroat game.
God,
Jesus.
Right?
I should have asked before we started recording, but we probably can't, like, play music on this podcast, right?
I can play, as long as it's royalty-free, I can play music. I can find some royalty-free stuff on...
Well, no, before you continue listening to this podcast, or maybe don't, just put it on in the background, anybody at home should listen to the song Photosynthesis by They Might Be Giants.
Yeah.
Just to, like, give flavor and background.
Yeah,
to...
for sure. Yeah, no, I can't play that.
Yeah, it's fair.
Because that's absolutely copyrighted.
Yeah,
and...
yeah.
But you guys go on to your separate layer and go ahead and add that over top of us, and that it'll pair really well with this episode.
If you're listening to us on YouTube, I will link a link to the YouTube video of Photosynthesis.
Boom.
In the comments
Double
below.
Nailed it.
Double tab it. Put it on. Enjoy.
You know, kick it to like one third, you know, quarter volume, so it's just background music.
Perfect.
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 Anyways, sorry, carry on.
Photosynthesis, though, by that company I really like, Blue Orange Games.
Blue Orange Games makes great games.
They make great games, and this was, so they normally make kind of like surface level games, like that, hey, I'm getting into board gaming, and I'm just past my Hasbro. They make really good games for this. This is like one of their, I saw this one, I was like, oh, cool, it's another nice surface game, maybe a little bit more in depth. This one is... far more cutthroat than the rest of their games. The rest of their games are pretty like either work together or, you know, hey, we're more here for the fun of it versus the competitiveness. This one is just mean.
It's like, it's right up there with Munchkin in like the middle finger, like F you kind of style board games.
It really is. Mm-hmm. It's, I was, because it starts out, the premise is so tranquil and you're like, oh, this is going to be beautiful. And then you start playing and you're just like, haha, F you.
Oh, yeah. We'll get into some plays that I had with Squirt that he was not happy about.
Oh, man.
Not happy at all.
What are you talking about? You're just collecting light to grow trees to harvest trees to score points.
Right. Speaking of rules, every player starts with a player board that has a market on it. I think there's 4 seeds, 6 small trees.
Something like that.
Yeah.
3 medium trees and 2 large trees. Large trees are your point growing trees. Hey, let's see. Nope, 4 small trees. I've got the board right here.
There you go.
On its left-hand side, you have your light point tracker, which is how you... it's kind of your money slash pointage.
Yeah.
They've all got... each row has a little point value that if you have that many at the end of the game, it gives you extra bonus points. But for the most part, it's your money.
Mm-hmm.
You also start with 2 seeds, 4 small trees, and a medium tree to start with. 2 of your small trees are placed immediately onto the board's outer rim for starting positions, essentially. And then you've got your seeds to plant around, depending on the size of your tree. Depends on how far away you can plant your seeds from it. It also depends on an important part of it, how far the trees cast their shadows, which we'll get into here in a little bit. Once you've got your first tree started, you pretty much gain your first 2 points. Nobody should be able to really block anybody on the first one. If you do, you're a super douche.
Like,
I'm sorry, you are.
Who was sitting? I think it was George. No, Chrissy was sitting on that side of me. She almost blocked her own trees when she put her first 2 trees out because she wasn't paying attention to where the sun was.
Yeah. You should, in theory, be able to collect your first 2 trees on the first round, but you grab those and then you start. Essentially, player 1 spends their light points, passes it to player 2, wash, rinse, repeat. Spending light points are used to upgrade your trees from seeds to littles to mediums to big trees. Big trees are then used to cut down and score pointage, depending on whether you're playing a 2-player game or 3 and 4 player game. Depends on how pointage kind of goes. You've got a 1, 2, 3 leaf tier system, essentially, and then the middle has a 4 if you're playing with 3 and 4 players.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it is left down to, you kind of reconvert it into a 3, essentially.
Gotcha. Because
you can kind of monopolize it a lot easier on
a 2-player game.
Yeah.
I could see that. The middle one is like the high pointage. Like, that's where you want your trees to be. And so if you're playing with multiple people, you can't just monopolize that center. But if you are playing with two people, you totally could.
Oh, yeah. Especially with how many points we were getting down to at the end. I was getting to the point where I, within three rounds, had a fully grown tree.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I could see that.
Just getting enough light points to just pump that tree.
We were heading that direction when we all got to play. We didn't get to complete a full play cycle. This game says that it's about a 45-minute, 60-minute play, but the first time you play through it, it's going to take you a lot longer.
Yeah. As we almost always say, your first couple times are going to be a little above the box, and then as you really start learning how to play, you'll creep more back into the box time zone.
So we only got there. It when you're playing with multiple people, you usually play for their first thing. You play a three cycle game.
Yeah,
and that's the sun moving around the board a full eight times to get through. And we only got through like one and a tiny bit of a cycle when we all played. So we didn't even get like a half of the way through the game.
Yeah, Squirt and I got all the way through. And by the time we probably were on our second cycle, probably about halfway through our second cycle, we really started seeing the like light point jump.
Yeah.
Your board also has, it's all a bunch of circles on a like hexagonal board, I think it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's rings to it where you've got your, we were talking about the scoring earlier. The outer is like the wastelands and ones. And then as you like work your way towards the middle, they become the two and threes and stuff like that. So you're kind of trying to creep yourself into the middle where it's more fertile, essentially.
Yeah.
And
just for context, I think it's the point values start like 14 on the outer rim, and then they go down from there, and then they're up like, I think it goes up to 22 or so.
I think it starts with 22 on the fours.
And then as you start to take point tiles away from the stacks and collect them for your own points, the numbers diminish on each of the piles. Like, so on the outer rim, the first person who harvests a tree will get 14 points, but then anybody who does it afterwards will have a diminishing point value for them.
That diminishing return.
Yep.
Yeah. It's to encourage you to get to the points first. Correct. So you're not just like, oh, I'm just going to save up light points and then I'll just grow a whole bunch of trees. Cool, you can totally do that, but you're going to lose out on points.
Yep.
Or you can make a mad dash at the last round like I did. Kind of outscored a lot. Squirt got first on the three and twos, and I just happened to be able to just crank out enough trees at the last minute.
I mean, that's kind of the strategy that I was going for with mine, was like kind of what I was planning to do if we got through more rounds, was just like, no, I'll just collect like five or six light points every round. I'll buy a bunch of little trees. I'll start planting my little trees. And then once I get enough light points, I'll just grow a whole bunch of trees. Like,
yeah.
Oh, well. But, you know, we didn't get that far, so.
And we also start, and also with four players, you have a lot more of the shadows to deal with.
Oh, yeah.
That's where the big munchkin FU comes in.
Yep, exactly. Exactly.
Because a tree of the same size blocks each other, essentially, depending on where the sun's coming from. As you rotate the sun around, it's very obvious. That's why they kind of got it in rows/rings, is so that you can just kind of follow the row right down and see what's blocking what. Small trees. Trees don't block trees of a larger category, but they block a tree of a smaller category.
An equal or smaller, yeah.
Yeah, equal or smaller category. And that's where Squirt was really mad at me. He had like a level 3 tree that, as the sun was rotating around for him to get a nice cache of points, I happened to proc one of my medium trees into a large tree. And then I did it again on the next rotation of the sun. Like on the immediate, like next like small rotation, I was like, hey, we're going to do that again. And he's like, dude. Or I did it right before we rotated both times. So it was like, I planted it. We rotated. He missed out on his points. I planted the next one, rotated it, missed out again. And he's like, dude, you just made me lose out on like 6 points when you could have picked like three other spots.
But that's the point of the game.
Yeah.
It's strategy.
It's competitive tree farming.
I found
competitive tree growing.
Don't be mad at me because I finally found a strategy at the exact last rotation of the game.
Right. So when you're playing, your board is, like we said, it's just this kind of octagonal thing that the sun rotates around. You have to build all of your pieces in advance, and it's 3D trees. You're just not playing little tokens. It's actually 3D trees that you're placing on your board. So your small trees cast one square of shadow, your medium trees cast two, and your big trees cast three.
And that's how far you can also cast your seeds from them.
Exactly. It everything is in threes in this game.
It is kind of convenient. It makes it really easy. Small trees are one, medium trees are two, big trees are three. They cast one shadow, two shadow, three shadow. They score one, two, three light points.
Yep.
And so on and so forth.
Yeah. So it's pretty easy to remember your numbers. And then you spend your light points to buy upgrades and new seeds and things like that. And your board has various different costs for each of those.
Yep.
It's a lot of strategy. It's about placing your trees in the best possible locations, blocking your opponent's trees, gathering light points, upgrading your trees, and then once your big trees are fully grown, they either catch you three light points or you can harvest them for score points.
Yeah.
It's a pretty simple, like, premise.
Yeah, it's a nice and simple premise. Train thought lost. Why?
Choo-choo.
Full lost. All gone.
It seems, from the outside looking in, like, the cover of this game is, like, gorgeous, and all the, like, artwork and, like, the board itself is really pretty, and everything is aesthetically, like, nice and peaceful and tranquil, but it is, like, it's probably one of the biggest example of, like, don't judge a book by its cover, and as far as, like, but, you know, for games, I guess. Don't
right?
That it really is, like, one of those games where if you're, like, if you like Take That games, this is a fantastic option.
This game, if played with the wrong people, this game will ruin your friendships. That's 100%. Like, this is a game where you're just screwing everybody over depending on what you're doing. And that's the point of the game, is to make sure that you get the light points and nobody else gets the light points.
Yeah, you want them light points. I really expected it to be far more shallow than it was.
Yeah.
And then as the more and more I went, the more and more I saw how much more little bits of strategy you can throw in, and just the little tiny bits that I was...
I really appreciated the whole point of once you activate a tree or a seed, you can't multi-use that one.
Yeah. You can't just throw one from a small to a big in one round.
Yeah. Well, and you can't, like, harvest your big tree and then immediately plant a seed where you harvested it because you've already activated that spot, so you aren't allowed to, like, reactivate that spot. I think that was a really, really clever idea that they had, so that like, you, George, you had the middle spot.
Mm-hmm.
Once you harvested your big tree, you couldn't just immediately put a seed there, even if you had one.
Mm-hmm. Everybody else got a shot.
Everybody else got a shot.
At least one turn to try and get into the middle, right?
Yeah, and I think that was cool too, because it also meant that you couldn't, like, plant a seed and then grow it into a tree in the same round.
Yeah.
And, you know, oh, I have 16 light points, so I'm just going to plant a seed and then it's immediately going to be a big tree. No, that's going to take you four rotations to get to.
Well, yeah. I love that. So since it's the hexagon board and the sun moves around each of the corners, you know, once three times, so it's 18 turns in total in the whole game. But, like, you can see the middle finger coming from your opponents before it happens, because you're like, hey, I have this one little tree right here and I'm focusing on my other trees on the other side of the board, but somebody just planted a seed right next to that tree. And then next turn, they grow it into a one tree, and so it actually starts to block it, so I make mine a two tree, and I have to take my attention away from these other trees that I wanted to work on.
Yeah, pull that attention away.
Anyway, yeah. No, it's devious in its take that idness.
Yeah, take that idness.
Yeah, yeah.
But all of its art is beautiful. It has four different colors of trees, which are beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I like the blue pines. I thought that was
the blue pines were beautiful.
I thought it was a weird one to go with, but I like it.
There are blue pines. I mean, they're not quite that blue.
That's
but, like,
just what I mean is, like, they went really blue with the blue pines. I was like, I know that that's a thing, but, like, they're not that vibrant. They're almost Lorax vibrant in these, and I'm a fan.
Well, and that's how I felt about the orange trees, too, because there's not actually, like, trees that are naturally fall colored, I don't believe.
No, you're right.
No, not on a normal.
Were there red trees?
No, the orange ones are the red, like, as close to red as you
then
can get.
Then it's yellowy green.
Yeah, there's two different colors.
Which
greens.
I have seen that.
Yeah.
Maiden hairs.
I mean, I really think that it was because you got to have varying colors.
You got to be able to show a little bit of difference.
It is a little bit of a shame that you can't have the classic red versus blue, but that's okay.
I know. They could have done, like, a crabapple tree. Those things are, like,
bright red.
Vibrantly
that's
red.
True. That's true.
But they went with a very nice orange, which indeed.
I think they were trying to get, like, the fall colors mixed with a fresh tree, and then they were like, crap, what do we do for the fourth player? Bah, make it bright blue. There's blue pines. Make it bright blue.
It's fine. No, I like the pieces, too. I like how each of the trees, the tree types, are different shapes. Yes. Enough to be distinctive. Like, even the two green ones are similar in shades of green. Like, one is definitely leans more yellow than the other, but their shapes are different enough that you can very easily see on the board which tree is which.
Yeah, which is nice that they take the time to, like, help make the distinguish there.
I also really like, if we're talking about just utility-wise, I like that the box is built in such a way that you can build your pieces and then store them in the box.
What?
You don't have to break them down every time, because building those trees was kind of obnoxious.
like Colt Express, you don't have to put the train away, or you don't have to, like, deconstruct the train every time.
Yeah, the trees, as long as you're careful about how you stack them in the box so that none of the cardboard pieces stick up over the little divider, the trees fit perfect in, and it comes with these four little boxes that you pop up so each tree color can be stored in its own little box. It's really nice.
It's very nice.
I was pretty impressed with that when I was looking through it, and I was like, oh, that'll make it so much easier to put away. Nice. We won't have to pull everything apart. We can just shove them all in the box.
And you go home. But I had a good time. I took it home and played with Kyle. I know I keep calling him Squirt. My own
stuff. We know who you're talking about.
Yeah, my own stuff requires me to not use his real name most of the time. So I get, as soon as I have voice recording in front of me, brain goes, don't use his real name anymore.
That's fair.
But yeah, Kyle's his real name. He's a real person, not just some guy.
Sometimes he comes up here and lurks in the corner of the podcast studio while we record. He's not there today, but...
He's not. He was just waking up when I left, which I was really surprised by. I think he woke up super early this morning and, like, couldn't get back to sleep, and then played some more Resident Evil and went back to bed. He already beat 4.
I got
it for him a couple days ago, and he beat it like 2 days after we were able to download it.
Yeah,
nice.
It's a quick game.
Yeah.
Did he enjoy it though?
Oh yeah, he loves it. Everything that they did for it this go around.
Nice.
I was talking about
photosynthesis, but also that. So glad that he likes it though.
He actually really liked photosynthesis, but he felt that we both should have just played 2 farms.
Oh yeah.
To, like, try to get that 4-player experience.
I get you.
And that was his only thing. He's like, 2 wasn't bad, but the board was mostly separate until we kind of chose not to let it be separate.
Mm. Yeah.
Because you really can just kind of split it in half, and for the most part, you're kind of not really messing with each other.
I could see that.
I could definitely see that.
Like, half as many trees, yeah.
Yeah, and so that was his only thing, is he was like, I think we should have played a 4-player and then just added our 2 points from our farms at the end.
Can I see the rule book really quick?
Yeah.
Because there was a...
But yeah, that was his only big thing, is that he said that he had wished that we'd played a 4-player just because of the fact that we would have seen how more of the, like, having more trees on it. But he had a really fun time with it. I don't know if it's one that we're going to pick up, like Colt Express is. I really do want to pick up Colt Express pretty bad, actually, because I think that'd be a really fun one for the whole family.
I was going to say, there's an advanced variation for the rules that, like, you do a 4th rotation of the sun, and then you can't plant a seed or grow a tree when that seed or tree is shadowed by another tree.
Oh, God.
So, like, and that applies to, like, the whole game.
That would also be a really fun variation.
Yeah.
That'd be a really fun variation.
And I was like, I didn't get to see that part of the rule book. I had seen it where it's like, don't put the 4th token in there if you're not going to play the advanced version of the game. And I was like, what's that about? But then never got around to reading it.
Right, right.
I will say my big complaint with this game, the thing that really annoyed me about it, is the rule book. I don't like the rule book. I thought that it was badly worded and badly laid out.
Yeah.
I don't want to be mean.
No, you're
but
good.
Blue Orange Games is...
Kind of.
No. It's run by French people.
Oh.
And I think we all have probably met one of their reps at one point or another, and they're actually all very lovely people.
No, that's now, fair.
Walking back immediately on my weird veiled insult.
That makes sense though, because I'm sure that it makes sense in French, but then it was translated into English, and it doesn't make. I mean, it makes sense, but it's a little hard to follow.
A little bit lost in translation there.
Yeah, I would say it makes sense why it's chunky.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, written chunk. It sounds like I wrote it.
This is one of those games...
Okay, Drew. All right, self-burn. Okay, initiate.
Like,
This, I know we've said it in a lot of the other games where it's like, watch a Let's Play video. Watch a Let's Play video before you play it. This is one of those games where I think you have to watch a Let's Play video.
Rodney Smith of Watch It Played, I think, has the best one.
I will also link that video on our YouTube video right underneath if you want to watch that Let's Play. I would highly recommend it. It's like a 15-minute.
Watch his when you're first getting going, and then if you ever need like a refresher, the wonderful Becca Scott also has.
Becca Scott was really good too. And I'll link hers as well. Hers is like a 5-minute Let's Play, so it doesn't cover all of the rules super heavily, but those both, we all watched both of those, and I think that's the only reason we were able to get through as fast as we were.
Yeah.
I just found a Rebecca Scott Easter egg in the game I'm currently obsessed with.
Oh my god.
I'm playing ESO.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
And she's literally in Daggerfall selling card games.
Is she really?
I'm so close to picking up ESO.
That's adorable.
Because they're having a sale for it on Steam right now.
$20. I know. That's why I got it, was because it was on sale. Because Angel's playing.
Well, and Travis just got it.
I convinced Travis to get it.
I've been
playing with him, and I'm now on... there.
Oh, great. So now the three I'm going to have to play ESO with you guys.
Yeah, like, I think it was Friday, the three of us mobbed around his usual, or around Trav's usual
Fine, I'm going to go home and buy ESO tonight.
Hell yeah!
Okay, we should talk about this after the cast.
It's not super graphically intense. Yes, your computer will run it. Trav was looking at running it on his old laptop. That's the only reason I was like, no, I saw what his specs were for that, and it said it should run it on there, so you should be okay.
Okay.
I wish that Chrissy could have joined us today, because I would have loved to hear her thoughts and feelings. I know that she really liked the game. We all wanted to stay and play longer. We only get an hour to, like, test play these games, and so, like,
I was late, like usual.
Well, we played a little extra because you were late. We all were like, man, we were just getting into the groove of things. We were finally figuring it out. We really wanted to like play more.
No, I wish Chrissy was here too. She kind of came into the podcast being a little bit more green to board games. Like not in like a negative way. Like she hadn't played games, but like she's starting to like become like a board gamer.
Oh, she's
like,
she is in the muck.
We're starting to corrupt her.
Oh yeah. The more and more every time we talk.
We love you, Chrissy. Like, we wish you were here.
We do. We miss you.
I will honestly say that this is one of those games that I would probably pick up to put in my game cabinet. It's right on the kind of games that I enjoy playing. Mm-hmm. It's pretty fast. It's really fun. It's kind of competitive, but like good natured. I like aha gotcha games. I love those. I love like shit on your neighbor games. Like those are my favorite things. So
it's
like
a game I should add to my cabinet, but I don't know that I will.
And that's fair. No, that's
definitely one I should, primarily because I need to I need to fill that section of game out. Mm. Like that fits the criteria I'm looking for, exactly what you just listed off. That's the kind of game I need to fill out in my cabinet, because I've got a lot of the, hey, you want to sit down for 3 hours?
Yeah. And I'm not a big like 3-hour game person. Yeah. Like I don't mind.
Not a lot of people are.
But if I'm going to sit down for like 3 hours, I want to play like Pathfinder or Dungeons and Dragons.
That's why I'm trying to hit up my homie Jacob. He used to be my other main like 3-hour guy. It was him and Kyle that were generally willing to sit down and be like, yeah, dude, I have nothing going on. We can sit down and play. How many hours do you want to play? 3? I really have nothing going on today, dude. Oh, you can stretch it into an hour and an extra hour and a half out of it if we play the variant. All right, that sounds great.
Fair.
That's a lot more of what I've unfortunately got.
That's fair.
But
remember when we used to play Star Wars Legion, Drew?
Oh, God.
That game was so fun.
I miss playing that game. And our grand skirmish that lasted us, what, a week and a half?
Oh, then we just left everything on the table?
Yeah, we played like every night for probably about a week. I think we might have taken, for about a week and a half, we played. And I think we took like every two nights off.
Yeah.
Like we'd play for 2 nights and then be like, all right, man, we should pay attention to some of our other stuff.
But why? When you can just, you know, be in the Star War all the time.
All the time.
Oh, I almost forgot to mention, Photosynthesis has an expansion.
What?
And I looked up video of it this morning just to kind of look into it. Under the Moonlight, I want to say. Or Moonlit something or other. Oh, I feel bad. Let's see.
Oh,
Under the Moonlight. Which, yeah, it adds a counter-rotating token, which is the moon.
Ooh.
And then along with the moon, everybody gets a special animal companion.
I love animal companions.
What?
And so basically, kind of like in a lot of your other role having games, like, you know, Pandemic, you have a different role and everything.
Yeah.
Which gives you one special ability, something that your character can do that other people can't do.
Yeah.
The animal that you have has a special ability that will let you manipulate resources, gain more resources, plant things easier, grow things easier.
Cool.
The owl, for instance, you collect moon points like you do light points.
Okay.
But like, you do different things with them. Those are the points that you use for the animal's ability. So like the owl is the straightforward one where you can just make moon points into light points.
Oh, nice.
But they all do something different. They're all unique from one another.
That's super cool.
Oh, that's so cool. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that.
Maybe our next episode should just be on expansions and our opinion on people's abilities to expand their game.
Yeah.
Not every expansion's awesome.
Not every expansion works.
And then there are some expansions that feel like, why wasn't that in the base game? Because this makes the game 10 times better.
And then there's ones like, I love the game, but it makes it really hard to buy some of the expansions I'm supposed to buy for it.
Mm-hmm.
When it's $60 for a model, like Horizon Zero Dawn, where they've got a lot of the big boss fights, and mind you, the model is the size of the box, pretty much.
Yeah.
But still one model.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things like that where it's like, yeah, I'd rather buy your other three that have a bunch of models and extra classes and things before I'm buying one giant boss fight. I kind of want the Thunderbird besides the point, though.
Yeah, that is a cool one.
The Thunderbird.
I like, that's just one that I want to paint.
I want to paint the Thunder Jaw.
I got to learn how to do that glowy effect first before I can do that.
Mm.
Yeah.
No, you're right though, Drew. That could be a whole thing. I have some opinions on certain board game expansions.
I mean, that might be a good one for us. I don't know.
Yeah.
In the near future.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a fairly short episode, I guess. With Photosynthesis is a pretty straightforward game. There's not a whole lot to explain and talk about.
It's nice and straightforward. It's a good game to actually play. There's very few negatives down.
It's really easy to pick up. I'm sure that there are people who can fuddle through the rule book just fine. I just think you should watch a Let's Play video.
I mean, I'm right there with you though. Like, I mean, it's not like laid out terribly well, but in general, I feel like 75 to 90% of rule books are kind of trash, and you should always just watch YouTube videos to learn how to play games.
I feel like
these
that's true. I'm that person that usually like has to teach myself how to play a game. And so I am really used to using rule books to like walk myself through step by step. Like I'll play like just a solo, like mock version of the game when I first set up and just like try it out. Most of the time, like, yes, most rule books are kind of garbage, but I can muddle my way through to the point where I'm like, okay, no, I get it. This one had some moments where it was, like, confusing.
Yeah.
Like, the way they worded things in it, I was like, that doesn't make sense. I don't understand.
It's like getting a text message from me.
Again, self-burn.
Self-burn, Drew.
Well, I write poorly. That's why I didn't have a problem with the rule book, was because I was like, oh, this is written like I write. I guess I write pretty broken, so it's easy to understand broken.
Fair. If this, you know, Photosynthesis sounds up your alley, or you like the artwork or anything like that, Blue Orange Games is just amazing. This is one of their more cutthroat games. I will say that. But they do wonderful games, and they're all pretty simple to pick up. They're pretty straightforward as far as the rules and stuff go. The other one,
most of them are pretty.
Most of them are gorgeous. The other one we have down there called Planet by Blue Orange Games. I love that game. That game is so much fun, but it's so simple.
I haven't played that one.
It's basically like building biomes. It's also competitive, but it's not quite as cutthroat as this one is.
I don't think it's by Blue Orange Games, but we're talking about cute, adorable biome games real quick. Did you guys see that Astroneer just started getting a comic book? And I heard thread on my Google page that it might be getting a board game.
No, that's cool.
Have you guys ever played Astroneer?
No.
It's like Minecraft for adults.
Minecraft.
You are... It's...
Touche. Touche.
Sorry, I know very few. I know very few like actual children who play Minecraft. Everybody I know that plays Minecraft.
Not a dig at anybody who plays Minecraft. I'm just saying the target audiences there are more towards children, more towards adults. It's kind of like Minecraft and No Man's Sky.
That's funny.
Okay.
Came together and you just like run around and harvest a bunch of stuff and you're trying to build yourself up. But there's a lot of automated stuff in it, which is what I'm always super stoked about. Because like you can put your storehouse onto something and then put a bunch of your iron on that and then have that feed into your smelter and that smelter feed into your actual chest and stuff like that. And you can get, and a lot of that game is kind of getting things set up so that they're flowing so that you can keep expanding yourself out and exploring this planet.
Well, that would be a fun game.
Yeah. And I want to see how they would do that in a game. And it sounds pretty similar to what was the name?
Planet?
Just Planet? Okay.
It's just.
It's like, no way, it's just that simple. Board games always have a crazy name.
I wouldn't say that it's quite along the same lines as that, because it's a little bit more, like, specific. Like, instead of building resources and things like that, it is, like, biome building and animals and, like, things like that to actually, like, try and get the most amount of biomes, like, kind of thing,
gotcha.
Fill them in the most. It's
King Domino, but better.
Yeah.
Or King Domino, but more.
It's very, very simple. It was one of those ones that I got to actually sit down with our Blue Orange game rep at one point and play a couple of rounds with, and it was so easy to pick up, but it was so much fun.
That's dope. That's super dope. But I think that's where we're going to jam photosynthesis back into the cabinet with everything else, close it up. We'll catch you guys next time.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
But no, seriously, get this up.
You've been listening to The Game Cabinet at the AU Radio Podcast Network. If you're interested in any of the titles from today's episode, you can check out the link tree in the description to visit Adventures Underground at their online store to browse the selections or inquire about special orders. If you'd like to contact the show, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just check out that link tree in the description. Or you can email the show at podcast@advunderground.com. You can also support this show and all the awesome shows on AU Radio that you love by becoming a patron of the AU Radio Podcast Network. You can find us at patreon.com/advunderground. For as little as $1 a month, you can help us continue to create these shows, and soon, many more.
You've been listening to the AU Radio Podcast Network. Music is provided by CubbyPurplePlanet.com and BenSound.com. Views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Adventures Underground. AU Radio is a production of Adventures Underground. Copyright 2018. All rights reserved.